Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Good Areas Live. I'm Varun Alvakonda. I'm joined by Cheyenne, who's making his Good Areas Live debut. So yes. The IPL group stage is officially done. We have our top four, we have our top two, and that's the true trophy-less teams, or as we like to call it, the two poverty franchises. That's Punjab and Bangalore, are both 1 and 2 respectively. And Cheyenne actually went to yesterday's game. So just quick thoughts on yesterday's game, dude.
Yeah, man. The atmosphere was insane, honestly. Like, the RCB fans, like, there were, I think there were Lucknow fans as well. But even whenever RCB was doing well, there were a lot of RCB fans as well. So I think the vibes were quite good if you were an RCB fan. And even for, as a home fan, I think the vibes were pretty nice. And then obviously the game was very exciting. At one point, it looked like RCB might not win after Virat Kohli got out. But then Jitesh Sharma played perhaps the innings of the IPL for RCB, didn't he?
Yeah. So I think weird things happened in this game. So Pant actually made runs for once.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and Pooran batted like Pant did the whole season when he made like, he probably in the end played a match losing knock in the, you would say.
He came a bit 13 towards the end, right? Like,
he just couldn't get going.
True.
So yeah, I'll be honest, when they made 228, I was like, there's no way RCB chased this, because I think I saw a stat that they only chased like 200 plus two times in the whole
Yeah. Once was in career. 2010 and once was the last season where the Will Jacks game and where Kohli also made 70 that game.
Yeah. So I had no expectations from them because I think Kohli isn't very comfortable in high chases either. So I think for some reason, Matthew Hayden of all people was talking about it in commentary because he was finding, oh, this is how good Virat is in 180 plus chase. I'm like, of all people, I didn't expect Matthew Hayden to be the one to be into statistics. But yeah. So what were your thoughts when they made 228 or 227?
Honestly, after the first innings, like 228 did seem like a huge task. But then again, RCB does have a good batting lineup and Lucknow's bowling we've seen all throughout the season that there isn't really a bowler who can put a lot of pressure on the batting side, apart from probably Digvesh Rathi, right? And then, of course, it was really important to get a good start, and the openers did that again. Virat Kohli and Phil Salt, they gave a flyer of a start. They just kept hitting boundaries, kept getting fours. They actually didn't get a single six in the first six overs, but they hit like, I think, they must have scored like 10 or 12 fours in the first six overs or something like that. Because in the first two overs, they were 31, I think. And then in that Willow Rook over, there were four fours. So I think they were just getting five fours, yeah. So, oh yeah, Kohli hit four fours, and then there was one four by Phil Salt before that, through covers, I think. So that they started off really well, but then once Phil Salt got out, it was like, okay, let's see. Then I was actually quite impressed that Patidar came up to three because I thought he needed some batting time. He needed to play himself in because he's been going through a weird run of form. Like, he's not getting the runs. But then again, I thought he looked good for the while, for the five, six, seven balls that he was there. But then after that, he got out. And then instantly after that, Livingston also got out. So at that point, it did look like, okay, is Kohli going to have to do it again? Is he supposed to play till the end? And then but Mayank Agarwal really, really started off well. So I think that gave the team a lot of confidence. And then once Kohli got out, it felt like, okay, the required run rate was not out of control, but it did seem like, okay, who's going to make all these runs? Because there were still 105 runs to go. But then Jitesh Sharma, man, what an innings.
Yeah, so I think one of the reasons I think Patidar came at three is like, I don't think the team trusted Mayank Agarwal. Maybe, like, just from an outside perspective.
Probably.
It did just feel like that. Like, Mayank's innings came out of syllabus, and it was probably very important considering the context of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's one thing which I did do. We should give credit to RCB. The game was never completely out of hand.
Yeah, I think for sure.
The highest I remember the required rate going up to is like 12.7, and that was just like with 7 overs remaining
Like that. They were always.
Yeah, so I think I looked this up. So for the first 12 overs, they got a boundary every over at least, which is a very good thing. And the one over they didn't was when Jitesh just came in and they needed some time.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that was the over just after when Jitesh came. So I think who must have bowled that over? Probably Digvesh. Was it Digvesh?
One sec, I should check this.
Yeah.
Akash Singh.
Oh yeah, Akash Singh, yes.
He started quite well, then he got a bit of a stick towards the end.
Yeah, actually he had bowled a good over, now I remember, correct.
So,
but then the interesting thing was that RCB had lost a similar game right in Lucknow and chasing a similar target. So that was another thing that was like, okay, can they get it done this time? And they didn't have Tim David, remember? Last time, of course, even in the last game, Tim David was not like fit for... Like, well, he was injured. So he also came in after Krunal Pandya and he was not running. And clearly he missed out on the next game. So I think...
I mean, RCB didn't have a lot of people, right? Like, Ningiri, who was backup for Hazelwood, was injured. So they brought in Tushara, who was the best bowler by some distance. Which does bring up an interesting problem. How do you bring Hazelwood back once he's fit? Who do you bring him in for? Because it's a bit unfair on... Tushar to sit out now.
Yeah, but
it?
Then Hazelwood has to be a straight swap, right? Like, there is no other. I think the only thing is, like, if they want to, like, probably change the combinations a lot, what they could consider playing both Tushara and Hazelwood and probably benching Livingston for Manoj Bhandage. Could they do that? And then again, maybe who goes out for Tushara? Like, which pacer goes out? Maybe Yash Dayal. But then I think that will be too much chopping and changing. And interestingly, yeah, that has not been on brand with what RCB has done this entire season, isn't it?
Yeah, the most of the changes have been, you'd say, forced, right? The one change I think they did do is they had Rasik Salandar and then they didn't. And that's the only change I remember. I think, I can't remember, was that forced or was Bhuvi not fit? I don't remember that.
Yeah, the first game, Bhuvi was not fit. So I think Rasik played that game and then after that, Bhuvi came back in. And I think Rasik did play. I think against Gujarat also, he got a game. So in that game, but he didn't bowl that well. And then I don't think he's played a lot of games since. I must have played 3 or 4 games in the season.
I don't think he played well. But you have to give credit to RCB. I think, again, Virat has started brilliantly, as he seems to always do in a run chase. You were the one who was telling me, right? Since 2023, he only has one single-digit score in a run chase.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, the man knows how to chase.
Yeah. Like, when you're getting that amount of consistency, I just feel, even if he's scoring a little slower than Parra, it doesn't actually feel like that when you see him bat in context of the game. In the last couple of cases, I mean, because he's kept up pace in the power play, he's hitting boundaries consistently. He did slow down a little, like, compared to his power play strike rate. But then again, 21 of 14 when wickets were falling, I don't think it was too bad. And obviously, it made common sense for him to bat through the end. He did get out trying to hit, right? And that could have been a 6, I think, if he middled that properly. The ball that he got out to, it was a slot ball by Avesh. And, like, I think that bat, like, it sort of spliced and he couldn't get the middle of it, and because of that, he got out. But then again, like, this was Jitesh Sharma's night, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about Jitesh, actually. I did not expect Jitesh Sharma to play the knock he did. I'll be completely honest.
I actually remember being really disappointed with Jitesh Sharma after the Sunrisers game, because I was like, okay, this guy has clearly been trusted a lot by RCB and he's in a leadership position and everything, and he's actually kept wickets really well and he's got a few cameos away. But then again, RCB invested 11 crores in him. So I felt he should have probably given better returns than he had in the entire season. I was basically, to a friend, I was saying, like, he should win a game on his own for the investment that RCB has put in him, and he absolutely did that. Mm-hmm. Like, 83 of 35, and he came in when they needed 105 runs.
Yeah, I believe it's his first IPL 50, right?
Was it his first 50? Did he not score a 50 for Punjab?
I think it was. That's what I think the commentators were saying. Cool. I don't even remember. I don't know if that was his first 50.
He got 40 of 19 against Mumbai. That was also a really good innings.
It is his first IPL 50. What a time to get it, right?
Yeah.
This is the first time since 2016 RCB have got into the top two.
Yeah, that is a really special moment for RCB, right? Because since 2020, they've now made 5 playoffs in 6 seasons. The one season they didn't make the playoffs, also they won 7 games. And they probably just got eliminated by Shubman Gill playing a brilliant innings. And the Lucknow game, they lost a close game to Lucknow in that season. So that was not really a terrible season for them per se. Probably a bit like Delhi this year, where you could say that they had their moments and it looked like they can possibly make it, but they eventually didn't. So I just really thought that. But this season was something different because they invested a lot in bowling, right? Bowling was a key part of what RCB have done this season.
From the time I've seen RCB, which is like regularly since 2011, I don't think I remember them playing as well as a team as they have this season.
Exactly. If you remember, there's also the stat of how many players have won the Player of the Match award. I think it's like 7 or 8 different players have done it now this season. So, and that's because sort of thing that you expect from a team.
Yeah, because if I put it this way, how many of this current RCB team would you say is a guarantee in the team of the season?
Yeah, probably not a lot, right? But then they've all done their
role. You'd say Hazelwood, maybe?
Hazelwood has to be in. If you probably want David as a finisher, you would want him. If you want Kohli,
I love Kohli, but I don't think you'd say he's been better than Gill or Sudarshan in that role, right? Like, you could make an argument for him to be in the team, but I don't know. Like, that's the role you want, you'd probably say. Yeah, so that's actually absolutely brilliant. And they still finished second on the table. And after how many injuries they've had? Like, the backups of the backups that keep getting injured. I don't even know, like, what the initial thought process was and where they are at right now. And they did this run chase quite easily, in fact. Like, we were just talking about this. They only hit 7 sixes when chasing 228. 6 of them up by Jitesh. I think that's a very very unusual run chase when you're chasing such a big one. They just almost... It was like a death... Right? The best analogy I've heard for this is death by 1,000 cuts. It felt like a very Virat Kohli type whole run chase where everyone was like, well, we'll just torture you by hitting force.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of force. I think even did Salt get a six? I don't think so. Yeah, Obi got out in the no, he didn't. So Salt and Kohli, they got a lot of force but didn't get a six.
The Kohli only six force in the first half was by Pathidhar.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that shot. Yes. He hit that towards the leg side, yeah. And that time it felt like, okay, is this the day when Pathidhar does it finally? Like, he had a really good start. Let's not forget that. If you remember the way he started the season, he made like 161 runs in the first four innings. He had match-winning knocks against Chennai, Mumbai. And he also had good contributions. He also had a good contribution against Kolkata. So it did feel like, okay, this is the season where Pathidhar can really establish himself. Maybe go for the Indian T20 international team. But then the last few games, now I think that has made the selector's job easier, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's definitely had a bit of a decline. I think his overall season numbers don't look great now.
I think he averages like 23 and strikes at 140. So, that's not ideal.
Not particularly great. That's not.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you expect better things from your captain, right?
Yeah. And especially someone who's been really good in the last two seasons for RCB. Like, in 2022 when he came in as a replacement. And then, of course, the last season.
All right, so before we move on, let's just take a quick break. And then we'll go back to discussing RCB.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
All right, welcome back to Good Areas Live. I'm Varun and Cheyenne. So, Cheyenne, so we talked about all the things RCB did well in yesterday's game. I think there's a couple of like issues I had with the thing. If Pathidhar is still not fit, like there's some captaincy issues I had. Why what the hell was Bhuvneshwar Kumar bowling the fifth over or the fourth over for the first one?
Exactly. And like, you know what? I hadn't even reached, like I was on the way to the stadium at that point. When I reached, I think it was the sixth over. And Bhuvi was bowling the first over after the power play. And in that over, then Rishabh Pant hits a 6 and a 4. And then that is really the over from where the momentum shifts towards LSG, right? Because the power play, I think RCB did fine. Like, considering this season when it has been a high-scoring season like last year, I don't think their power play was too bad. Like, they bowled fine in the power play. But then after that, Rishabh Pant and Mitchell Marsh, they were outstanding, man. Like, they played really, really well.
Yeah, because I didn't really understand the thinking behind it. Because
you
always give your best swing bowler the first over. If you want to do any experiments, it's always from the second over onwards. That's like a very basic move. So if Jitesh is going to keep capturing and Pathidhar isn't going to be fit, he has to be careful with this, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of like the only nitpick I have, because I think everything else is fine. Because Kunal also
bowled just two overs, right?
Yeah,
let's not forget that. Kunal also bowled just two overs. So, and his second over was actually really good. He gave away just four runs and that included a wide, I think. And in context of how well Lucknow were playing at that point, I think that over was actually quite crucial. And now, in hindsight, definitely very crucial. Because if that over also goes four runs, who knows how many more Lucknow make.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not even like you can say, oh, well, it's the test Rishabh Pant who'll just retreat left arm finger spinners like trash. Like, Rishabh hasn't been that comfortable versus spin. He was playing spin decently well in this game, right? But Suyash again got smashed. Suyash has had a very strange season. He's been good, but not like he's been all right, but he's not taking any wickets and his economy isn't that great. So that's a bit of a flaw in that team. But if you almost need four overs from Kunal every game, and as much as I like Kunal, I don't think you want to be in a position where you need four overs from him every game.
Yeah, man. So I really just think that Suyash has actually had a very interesting season and he has actually played a very key role in some of the wins for RCB, especially while defending totals. But then again, if he is not taking the wickets that he should be, he has 5 wickets in 12 games, right? So for someone who is not a wicket taker, he probably needs to be consistent with his economy more often. That's the trade-off, right? Like, he either needs to take more wickets or he needs to be able to keep the flow of runs in check more often. And he has done that to his credit, but the last 3 games for him, I think he's gone at over 10 runs and over every single time. And he did bowl one good over in the CSK game to Dhoni and Jadeja. But then after that, even if you include that entire game and then the next 2 games, he started going for runs and that is a bit of a concern for RCB, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but also, what the hell was Ramaiah Shepherd doing bowling 4 overs? Like, that should never happen.
Yeah, Shepherd should ideally bowl like 2 overs, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, more of a filler where you need like a filler over, you bring him in, or maybe against a specific matchup But I don't think you should rely on Romario Shiffer a lot for his bowling.
So again, I do think there's a few flaws in there, like fourth, fifth, sixth bowlers, but they've done well enough to, I think, for it to not be an issue. But I think they do need to be careful, because if I think if any of the main bowlers have a bad day, we could end up quite horribly wrong for them. Let's go from beyond this match. What do you think went well for RCB this season? Why are they second after inconsistent season of the season?
Right, like if we really look at the retentions, first of all, I think they did well with the retentions. They got Kohli, Patidar, and Dayal. So that meant they had a fair bit of purse going into the auction. And they did cover three roles. So you have a good power play. You have a good, very solid power play batter who can play long, of course, in Virat Kohli. And then you have a spin basher in Rajat Patidar. And then you have an uncapped Indian left-arm seamer in Yash Dayal. So I think that three was nailed on well. And then after that, if you remember, we were discussing the sort of players that RCB should get. We had Phil Salt. We had Krunal Pandya. We had Hazelwood. They got all three. So that was, I think, something that they did really, really well. I think we were like, they don't have a left-hander in their top six. They don't have a left-hander, Indian left-hander. But then Devdutt Padikkal comes in, and a lot of us didn't have a lot of hopes from him, did we?
Yeah, definitely not, right?
The way he played, I think that has played a very important part. And I think Salt and Kohli have done pretty much exactly what you would have expected them to do before the season. Like, that is the ideal case scenario, more or less. And then Patidar, of course, he has not been as good. I think Jitesh has now played a few cameos. I think definitely after this innings, I think Jitesh has definitely had a good league stage. We can say that officially. Of course, before this game, I was like, okay, you do need a little more runs from him, even though he's coming towards the end. And he did play a few more cameos. Even in the Gujarat game, you remember, where they lost a lot of wickets towards the start. Mm-hmm. It was him and Livingston who got that partnership going. And then Tim David towards the end, they got to a score of sorts after losing a lot of early wickets.
Yeah, you'd say like all seven or eight of their batters have had at least one knock of importance in this.
Their only batter who has like not been good at all has been Liam Livingston, definitely. But and who was
even he made a 50 in that Gujarat game.
Even he made a 50 in that Gujarat game.
He was dropped like horrible 50, but he still made it 50.
It was a very Liam Livingston like 50. Like if you expect a 50 from him, probably in like 25-26 balls, isn't it? But then he took his time, and probably that was needed at the time, and he hit a lot of sixes of Rashid Khan. I remember that. So apart from him, and of course Rajat Patidar has not been close to the levels that you would expect from him, but I think more or less the other batters have done a good job, and they've chipped in at different points. Even if you talk about batters like Jacob Bethel, Mayank Agarwal, Romario Shiffer, they've all played like those knocks of importance, right? Like that is what you expect from a team when even your replacements are coming in and they are also doing a good job and filling in properly, even when you're not having when you're missing out on some of your main players. But if we have to talk about RCB's success this season, the main reason has to be the bowling, right? They definitely have been one of the better bowling sides of this season, especially because of Josh Hazelwood.
Yeah, you'd probably say they're the second best bowling side of this competition, right? After Mumbai Indians.
After Mumbai, yeah. I think that's probably...
third, you'd say, if you say Gujarat is above them.
Yeah, Gujarat is also really good, but then Gujarat sort of have the same issue in a sense that they're also going for runs now towards the end.
Like, yeah. So I think Gujarat is also very Prasad Krishna dependent, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So I think that is a bit of an issue for them as well. But yeah, I think more or less RCB, Hazelwood has been really good. Of course, Bhuvneshwar, I think, has had a good season. I think for the experience that he brings to the table, he has done well in the power play at times. He has closed some games at the death. I think pretty good season from him. I would honestly say, like, Siraj also was a good bowler for RCB. I know he was very volatile in the sense that when he was good, he was very good. And when he was not good, he wasn't good at all. But then I would probably still say Bhuvi is a bit of an upgrade over him. What do you think?
Yes, I think Bhuvi makes you feel safer than Siraj.
Right? Yeah, their bowling Bhuvi is very like organized in a sense.
Yeah, definitely. Completely agree with that. I think Bhuvi just makes you feel safer than Siraj does.
Definitely.
As Gujarat are finding out right now, like when he's great, he's great.
Yeah, he can just come and take 4 wickets in the final of the IPL. I think nobody's going to doubt that. You don't know what he does on a given day. But with Bhuvi, you more or less you know that he's going to give you reliability and he can bowl well in the power play, bowl well at the death. He has the experience. And
he's very 1 for 22 in the power play, right? 3 overs, 1 for 22 in the power play kind of bowler.
Yeah, exactly. I think when I was looking up at some point, like I think after teams had played like 10, 11 games or something, I was looking up the economy rates. Both Josh Hazelwood and Bhuvneshwar Kumar were really up there in the power play. Like even if you check it now, I think it will be interesting. Where do they rank among the best power play bowlers of this season? I'll look it up. But in the meanwhile, what are your thoughts on RCB's bowling?
Yeah, I think the bowling has been great. I think so. It seems like, unlike they usually do, they put some thoughts into this year's bowling.
So definitely.
They've not really gone for like a big, like a 25 crore bowler or anything like that. They're like, let's find the bowlers we need to do the job. Because the Krunal is the other one we were talking about. Before this, we were looking at the Hawkeye data and I was like, for this, Krunal's natural lengths will suit Chinnaswamy. And they should go for him, and they did go for him.
But he's actually had a very different season, wouldn't you say that? Like,
he's basically been a strike bowler.
Exactly. Yeah. And Suyash has done the opposite job, like where he has kept the runs in check, more or less. So I think that is pretty handy. Oh, I think I actually remembered from when we were talking about Krunal Pandya, he also played that innings versus Delhi, right? Like, you need these sort of contributors to come in at different points, not be reliant on just one player. Like, as RCB have over the years been reliant on Kohli, De Villiers, Gale, all their big names, Faf, Maxwell. They're like very top heavy. They've been a very top heavy team. But then we have to talk about Tim David, right? Like, that man has had one failure, and that one failure was in the last game against Sunrisers in Lucknow, and that was when he was injured. He has not failed a single game as a finisher.
Yeah, like, it is, he's crazy, been absolutely ruthless, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember the Chennai game. We talked the Punjab game where he's the only one who made any runs.
Exactly. Oh, and yeah, that was actually another very good innings. Probably you could say quality wise that was the best innings an RCB batter has played this season. But in terms of context of top two qualification, run rate required, and everything, then we have to give it to Jitesh, definitely.
No, I think that innings made me see a side of Tim David I did not think he had, which was using a brain. Like, that was a very intelligently done
innings. Tim David, I think, because he's a very experienced player, he knows, he does the job of the finisher a lot more than the other players, doesn't he? He's like a specialist finisher in T20 cricket, exclusively.
Yep.
Like, that is his job. He doesn't have to worry about one-day cricket, test cricket. He just has to play T20 leagues around the world. He trains for that. I think there was this really good interview about, I don't know who he did it with, probably Matt Roller, but he did this really interesting interview where he talked about how the demands and requirements of being a finisher. He's mentally ready that he knows that he has to play like 10 balls, 8 balls, and he'll come in and hit 6. And I think Kohli also mentioned at one point that because now they have two power hitters towards the end in Romario Sheffield and Tim David, who can hit a lot of sixes towards the end. I think he said something like 10 sixes and 18 balls or something like that. And that sort of happened in the Chennai game, right? Like, when Sheffield just went mad, he kept hitting sixes.
Yeah, that was against Khalil. He just took Khalil down completely.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was just looking at it. So both Bhuvi and Hazelwood have an economy rate of under 8 in the power play, which is very impressive.
Oh, wow. Yes, correct.
Yeah, yeah. So, which is, in this season, is quite
being
insane.
Really high up, but I think the game against Rajasthan Royals where... the game against Rajasthan Royals where Vaibhav Suryavanshi took him for 22 runs in that over. I think that has probably... Or was it Yashasvi Jaiswal?
I don't remember, to be honest. So Arshdeep is 8.15-ish.
Yeah, he's at 8.15.
That's fine.
Correct.
Perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, but then now RCB basically have two bowlers who have gone at less than 8 runs and over, and they've both taken wickets as well. They've both taken 7 wickets each. I think that's a pretty solid start for RCB. What do you think about how RCB have been using Yash Dayal? Because I think this has been an interesting point of debate where I feel like they've overused him in the power play, to be very honest.
He's not necessarily great in the power play, is he? I don't think he can control the new ball quite as well as he should.
I actually think they might be better off giving him one over in the power play and then using him more towards the middle overs and the death overs, where he has actually shown he might not have, I haven't looked at his exact numbers at the death, but then again, if you look at the sort of games that he has closed at times, Yash Dayal has shown that he can do it under pressure at the death. So I think in the middle overs.
Yeah, but has he done it against any team that isn't Chennai? That's my question.
That is also an interesting point. But then
he seems to have bowled well at the death versus Chennai. I don't think I've ever seen him do well in the death versus anyone else.
I think even against Delhi, he has had a couple of games, but I think those have been the sort of games where the match has already been won and along those lines. So
he's going at 13 and over at the death.
Is he? What about the middle overs?
So he was going 11 and over in the power play. I checked that.
Mm-hmm.
1 second.
I think he's taking wickets in the middle overs. Whenever he's
Because if he's not taking wickets in the power play and he's going for runs at the death, I don't really know what he brings. Okay, so he's going under 8 and over in the middle overs. That's fine.
This is what I've been saying, that they should probably be using him more in the middle overs. And I don't mind like him getting an over at the death. Even that is fine. Like, I know he had a really bad game yesterday, but then again...
Yeah, him in the middle might not be a terrible idea if they don't have a consistent spinner, right?
Exactly. So if Dayal can do well in the middle overs, they have Krunal, who has actually taken more wickets than you would have expected. And then, there's Suyash as well, who's done decently well, I think, in terms of economy rate. So I think all things considered, excuse me, sorry.
And then if you, you can have some buffer with Romario as well, if you need
Exactly. And if they have to end up playing Liam Livingston, if Tim David doesn't make it, then even Livingston can chip in with a couple of overs, matchup spin. I think that's pretty handy if it's required.
All right. So so we've talked about what they've done well, maybe some issues they've have. So in the playoffs, I already forgot what I'm looking at. So Hrishikesh has asked that question, right? Do you think Devdutt Padikkal's absence is going to sting them in the playoffs?
Yeah, and I think definitely. Because if we look at that game against Punjab Kings at Mulanpur, it was Devdutt Padikkal, right, who made runs. He made 61 of 35, I believe. And like, he was the star of that match. And it's always useful to have a player who has played in those conditions. Of course, it's just one game, but then again, there's probably a mental side to it where you know that a player has done well against that opponent on that ground. Coming to the playoffs, it might give him a sense of confidence. But then again, I think Mayank Agarwal has now started well. So as RCB fans, should probably still trust Mayank Agarwal and hope that he comes good again. And I think Rajat Patedar also has to really step up in these playoffs. And we know he has done it before in the past, right? Like, that is where the cult of Rajat Patedar has started. Where from that innings in the eliminator in 2022. Where he's absolutely
I remember that. That was a great
outstanding innings. And I don't think he's had a failure in a playoff game either. Like, even in the other two playoff games that he plays, he makes runs. He gets a 50 against Rajasthan in the next one in that season. And then even in the last season, I think he got like a 30 or something, if I'm not wrong. So I think Rajat Patidar in the playoffs is going to be very, very crucial. And Mayank Agarwal and Rajat Patidar, these two will probably have to, you know, make them feel like they make them not miss Padikkal at this point. But Padikkal being a left-hander, of course, and the fact that he has shown intent all the way through, like, there has been no price on his wicket. He has just come in and looked to hit boundaries, looked to get the runs. Like, and he's also really good running between the wickets. If you remember, there was one instance where they ran four runs.
Kohli and Padikkal.
And that was also against Punjab in Mulanpur.
Yes.
So I think those are the sort of things that he brings on the table, and of course he will be a big miss. There's no doubt about it.
I can't believe we are actually saying that Devdutt Padikkal will be a huge miss in a T20 game.
Yeah, he's
like, imagine saying that like a few months ago.
Yeah, nobody was really rating him, right? Like, before the season, people were like, okay, RCB should probably play Bandage towards the end, like as a death overs player, who can bat at three and all those sorts of things. But then this has been the great thing about RCB this season, right? Like, they have really worked. Behind the scenes, there has been a lot of work put in the players, and especially with the likes of Dinesh Karthik, Andy Flower.
I think Jitesh was crediting DK for his innings.
Exactly. They have repeatedly credited DK and Flower for their evolution, for like just getting better cricketers. And I think that is the sort of thing which you really need from a team, right?
Yeah, I think Kaushal is asking that question as well. Like, would you have Tushar ahead of Livingston and play an Indian finisher instead of him? So you can play him and Hazelwood.
I think it's a tempting option, but I think at this point it's like you're chopping and changing too much, isn't it? Like, you would want to maintain the same amount of consistency, and then, like, see, Tushara is a new ball bowler, Bhuvi is a new ball bowler, Hazelwood also you also want him to bowl in the power play, though he can bowl in all phases now at this point. But then I still think it's a tempting option even with those overlaps. But then where does Yash Dayal come in, right? If Yash Dayal is also playing, isn't there a lot of overlap in the first six overs? If they're still using
Yash Dayal. I assume they mean drop Yash Dayal in that team.
Oh, okay. So if they drop Dayal and they get in another finisher for Livingston. See, Chikara,
Livingston is making negative runs at this point, right?
He is. There's no doubt about it. But then again, I feel like if it's a playoffs game, you have to back your experienced and talented players. You've invested a lot of money in them. So I think it's just better than giving a new player a go in a playoff game and then it affecting the morale of that player as well. You'd rather just back the experienced player. Now, I think I would still say that they should back Livingston. Of course, ideally, they would be hoping that Tim David comes back in. But then if that doesn't happen, because see, even Chikara is a top order batter. From what I've followed his highlights and starts in the UP D20, he's also a top order batter. He can bat in the top three. I think he opened in the UP D20, if I'm not wrong. And he's got this very Jake Fraser-McGurk-like play style about him, where if you guys remember the highlights that I shared. So, I'm not so sure how he will work as a finisher. And Bandage has been a good finisher, definitely, at the domestic circuit, especially in the local Karnataka T20 league. So, I'm not very sure about that change, to be honest. So, I would still say they should stick to their guns and just, like, stick to the combination that they have right now.
All right, so let's take a quick break. And once we're back, we'll move on to Punjab Kings.
Yeah.
As a cricket journalist, I would travel up to 200 days a year. And I loved every part of it, except for one. This little evil pin here, because I needed this to change my SIM card. And when you travel in cricket, you're quite often going from country to country. Don't get me started on how much this would annoy me in the West Indies, but even going from New Zealand to Australia, this pin was the worst. Well, with the Sally eSIM, they sort all of that out for you. They have an eSIM app that you install once, it's cheap, and it works in more than 160 countries around the world. No more turning up at an airport and lining up for a local SIM, trying to give over your passport and your details, and you just want to get in a taxi and go where you're going. No, Sally make it so much easier. You just download the app before you travel and you decide what kind of plan you actually need. Oh, and if you do that with our code, GOODAREAS, all one word, you get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go right now and download the Sally app and use the code GOODAREAS, all one word, at checkout and travel like a pro with Sally.
All right, welcome back to Good Areas Live. I'm Varun and I'm joined with Shayan. So let's move on to Punjab Kings, who finished the top of the table for the first...
Yeah.
They both qualified and finished at the top of the table for the first time since 2014, when they lost it over a decade ago. And that was George Bailey's side, which is probably a very fan-favorite IPL team, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. The way they used to play, like Maxwell and Miller, and then Sehwag also had that innings in the playoffs. So I think that was a very popular team, wasn't it?
Somehow Chiteshwar Pujara played in the middle of all of that. Very weird team that was. Like, still a brilliant side. So, but the Punjab, again, they basically, like, what has gone well for them so far, you'd say?
I think their batting has been excellent, hasn't it? I think we can make the case that they have been the best batting side of this IPL. Can we not? Mm-hmm. I think they have to be up there with Gujarat. Like, them and Gujarat have probably been the best two batting sides of this IPL. Of course, Sunrisers have had a few big scores, but then I think when the tournament was on live, they didn't actually make a lot of runs when they were supposed to. And then, of course, like, that sort of stuff happens. Sometimes you just lose form. And we've talked about how Sunrisers still have good quality, but I think the brilliant thing with Punjab is that even with their style of play, they've maintained a lot of consistency. So they are one of the better sides batting first. If I'm not wrong, they have the best run rate in the first innings of the IPL this season. I'll actually look this up. And I also read this stat somewhere that them and Sun... Who was the other team? I can't remember, man. Yeah, I think there was one team. They had made over 207 times this season. And I think that was Punjab, and there was one other team who had done that. I'm not able to remember that right now. Is it Gujarat? Because even Gujarat have been really good.
I feel like Gujarat got 7,090 plus scores, 190s this season.
They've had a lot of 190s as well. That's also true.
Yeah.
Correct.
So Punjab, again, like, they probably, I agree with you in that, they've probably been the best batting side. I think if you compare them to SRH, I don't think they have the same highs as SRH do, but they've been consistently better at batting in this whole tournament. Because SRH have had like a few blips.
They were making between 140, 160 runs, Sunrisers, like when the tournament was on. Like, it started well, they ended well, but then most of their like good knocks with the bat, they came, and then they had that one big chase against Punjab, coincidentally, right? So I think I'm pretty confident in saying that Punjab have been the best batting side of this IPL. And
that's mainly been on the back of, you'd say, three players in the tournament: Priyan Sharia, Prabsimran Singh, and the captain Shreyas Iyer, who's completely transformed himself, by the way. We have to start with him. He becomes the first captain to take three different teams to the playoffs. Three different setups. So, I might have to join the cult of Shreyas at this point, right? Because I might have to become a Shreyas simp at this point because of what he's done.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people did rate his captaincy quite highly, even in the early Delhi days. And then
GT was the other team who made 207 times.
Correct.
LSG is 6 and RR SRH are 5.
And Punjab do have the highest runs per over. They have 10.46 runs per over with batting first in this year's IPL. And I think that doesn't include the game that had to be abandoned midway through, right?
No, I don't believe it does. They were well on leverage, 250 in that game.
Yeah, so if that game goes on, who knows how what their run rate would have been in the first innings. So I think they've been really, really good all the way through.
Yeah, so we have to, again, like, continuing about Shreyas Iyer, like, the way he's captained this team has been brilliant.
Yeah, so I was actually reading this, I think, an article online, and they were talking about how Shreyas Iyer, I think it was Shashank Singh who was talking about how Shreyas Iyer and Ricky Ponting have really brought about a change in culture in the entire team, not just the playing members, but the entire Punjab Kings staff. And I think that has been the sort of thing that has been missing over the years, hasn't it? Because we have seen a lot of players, they have really complained about the Punjab Kings and their management and how things have transpired. Like, we're well aware about Glenn Maxwell and what he has talked about the Punjab Kings in the past, right? But even this season, Maxwell didn't have a good season at all with the bat, but then he was chipping in with the ball, and it did seem like he was contributing for the time he was. Of course, not as well as you would have expected him to, but then again, I think Shreyas Iyer has been a brilliant, brilliant leader, and with Ricky Ponting, who we all know is one of the most successful cricket captains, so I think they have formed this really good alliance. And this starts from the Delhi days, right? And Ricky Ponting actually was very keen to get a captain like Shreyas Iyer, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, he really went for him in that auction, right? Yeah. Because all of us were like, thought that they'd got off to Pant, right?
Correct, correct. And that has completely flipped. Like, and Pant had a terrible season, even if we include the 100 that he gets in the last game. And Shreyas Iyer has been one of the best batters of the tournament. There is no doubt about it. And the way he has played, it has been outstanding, man. And I think
he has a record of 171 this season, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what is the split for spin and pace? I think he has actually been better against pace this season.
So it's like, what was it? I think a sensitive. I already forgot. It's like 156 or 157.
Yeah, I think 150. It was 156, 157 against spin. So it must be a lot.
That's very good versus spin. That's it.
Yeah.
That's like, it's not as nuts as it would be in other seasons, but still great.
So he's maintained a really good. His primary skill is still really good, but the main difference has been in how well he has played pace. And I think we can actually look this up. We can look up how well Shreyas Iyer has done in against the quick bowlers, like whenever they've bowled short this season. I think that will be interesting to look up.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, he's using Himanisha's app.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually going to mention that. So against the short balls. Shreyas Iyer has scored 66 runs of 24 balls this season.
Yeah, makes sense.
And he's just gotten out once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's he's turned a weakness into a great strength, hasn't he, right?
Exactly.
Because if you're, like, he's never really done this in a season before. Like, he'd occasionally play, like, an innings where he'd go nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, definitely. In the past, I think he's been a good anchor batter, definitely. That's the sort of batter that we used to say, I can average 30 and strike at 130. He was like a really good example of that sort of a player, I think, for a long time in the IPL. But then, as even last season, I think he didn't actually need to bat as much because of how well KKR were playing. But then he always used to chip in and play those important roles. And I think the most important thing with Shreyas Iyer, we have to give him credit for, is that he's very flexible. As a captain, he does not really care about his own, like, scoring his runs, scoring 500 runs in a season or whatever. Like, the goal is very clear. He wants to win games. And I think that was best illustrated in this first innings of the IPL, where he made 97 for Punjab of 42. And he was off strike for a long time while batting with Shashank, wasn't he? And
yeah,
Shashank actually has a really good media. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's all Shashank. Just keep going for it, right?
Yeah. So I think that's the sort of mindset you really need.
Yeah, I actually think KKR probably underrated how good he was versus spin last year, because I think his numbers versus spin are quite similar in both seasons.
Although I do think that KKR didn't really make a big mistake. Like, you could argue that they could have gone for Shreyas Iyer instead of Venkatesh Iyer, but then probably that's hindsight, because even Venkatesh Iyer was good for KKR.
We saw with KKR this season how useless they were versus spin.
Correct.
In the middle of us, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Shreyas has been fantastic, right? And it's gotten to the point where we were like, none of us even had Shreyas remotely in the T20 team to like Rahul Azadis, right? Like, he's making headways into being in the Indian T20 side. And I don't think you can disagree with that. I don't know who the hell he gets in for, but still. But
it's going to be really competitive, right? Like, if we talk about the Indian T20 team, does he come in for Tilak? What do you think?
I think that's because the role he's competing for, right? He's not replacing Sky. He's not an opener.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Sky's the captain, and he's had a brilliant IPL season as well. So I think if Shreyas comes in, that's probably for Tilak.
Yeah, let's not go the T20 route. I think we'll be here all day. We could do a whole podcast on that. Like, the other guys we do want to talk about, we should be talking about, are the openers.
Yeah.
And man, has it been fun watching those two bat. Priyan Chaurya and Prabhsimran Singh. Prabhsimran has been with Punjab for a few years. I've actually been a Prabhsimran fan for the last... for like 2 years in a row now. He was like 25-150, right?
So I think
for the last couple
of
seasons.
We used to play all these like drafts with our friends, like where we used to pick players, make our own teams, all these mock drafts, mock auctions. I remember picking Prabhsimran once, and I was like, okay, he's a good player. I think he will come good. I was actually very happy that he's had a good season, because I am also vindicated now. But even before that, I actually used to like his style of play. But then this year, he has actually become a very, very good player, hasn't he? Because now he's giving you a lot of
consistent runs. Yeah.
Exactly. But he's still not compromised on the strike rate.
Correct. So I think the difference is, The difference, yeah, it is better. So he's striking at 166 this season. It was 157 the season before and 150 before the year before that, right?
Correct.
He's a perfect template for an opener. That's exactly what you want. It's just that the issue was the previous years, he just wasn't making enough runs, right? Even as much as I love his iron sin, this year that's not a problem. He's made nearly 500 runs at an average of 35 and a strike rate that's close to 170. That is a phenomenal numbers for an opener.
Absolutely. And if we just look at the power play, because that's the phase where you expect your openers to do well, he is averaging 56 and striking at 159. What else do you want from your opener? Like, of course, that is just a special stat, isn't it? And for a minimum of 100 balls, I think he's up there in terms of strike rate at number 9. So I think, of course, there have been other batters who've scored quicker than him. And there's often this sort of cluster where a lot of players are around him, a lot of players in the same range as him. But then again, he has been very consistent. So I think if you look up averages, Prabhsimran still has a very... Like, he is among the 9 batters who have an average of above 50 in the power play. And then he also strikes at 159. So I think that's a pretty good job. And then we have to talk about his opening partner, right?
Yeah, Priyan Chari, who's playing his first season. He was a pick. He was like, I don't think he wasn't really in the system. And then he plays the Delhi Premier League. Then he gets discovered. And then they play him. What a revelation he's been.
Again, absolutely, man. I think it was that CSK innings which really embodies the style of play that he has had this entire season. And I think he actually started off well versus Gujarat too. He was very fearless. He was hitting boundaries at will. Even in his first IPL match, I think. But then even after that, I think it was that Chennai game where wickets kept falling at one end. Then he scored a brilliant, brilliant 100. I think that is still one of the best knocks of the tournament for me. Especially because batting first, it does get a bit tricky, doesn't it? Because you don't always know what's the right pace to play, depending upon the wicket. And then if you're losing wickets at the other end, what are you supposed to do? And then he showed what we are supposed to do, right? And then for a minimum of 100 balls, Priyan Charya has the second best strike rate this season. The first is Ajinkya Rahane, who KKR would not have expected that. He's had a brilliant, brilliant season in the power play. But Priyan Charya is second and he's averaging 33, which is not as high as Prabhsimran. But then again, I think they will take that. With that whole combination of one player averaging 33 at 181 and then another player averaging 56 at 159 in the power play. So that means they're a reliable power play batting team at this point, even with this style of play, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what I was just about to say with Prabhsimran. He's using more intelligent this season than he was. He doesn't seem as desperate to attack. He seems to be like happy, just kind of chilling in the power play. He's not shutting down chop, but he's just like 158 in the power play is like just above par, isn't it? Like 150 is, I think, the average strike rate in the power play. So he's just good, but not great. 180 is still nuts in the power play, right?
Yeah, I think people need to realize this, that like when players are playing in a team, if they're taking up different roles and if one player is going hard and the other player has a bit of a different sort of a role, but then even that player is showing intent when it is required. So I think that's the sort of thing that you really need to look at, and Punjab have nailed that pretty much. And I think a lot of people wouldn't have expected Priyan Charya to be a starter in the 11, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then he was clearly a special talent in the Delhi Premier League. Now I'm curious to see how many runs did he make in the Delhi Premier League.
I think there were talks about would it be him with Stoinis open, like with Inglis open?
Yeah, I was thinking Inglis most probably, right? And at that point, it did seem like, okay, for the budget they had, should they not have gone for maybe Rishabh Pant or someone? But I think Punjab have been vindicated well and truly with the Shreyas Iyer by, and then of course with the other players. And I think this really tells us that a very, very underrated aspect of the IPL over the years we've seen is how well your team is gelling. Like as a combination, how is your team performing? You do not always need great players, players who are like elite. And you often see this, right? A lot of elite players, they're often stuck in bad teams because they have to do a lot of the carry job, isn't it? And about the great Mumbai and Chennai teams over the years, they have all been team effort wins, isn't it?
So I think like that is Punjab and RCB
have done a brilliant job this time with that.
Definitely.
I think before we go for a break, I looked up Priyan Charya and how many runs he made. So he makes 608 runs in 10 matches in the Delhi Premier League. He was the highest run getter and he had a strike rate of 198.6. So he's scoring at nearly 2 runs a ball at that level. So I think credit to the scouts and the analysts and everyone who was involved in picking him. And I think Shreyas Iyer was the one who wanted him to play based on how he was batting in the net. So I think credit to all of them. What a brilliant opening pair this has been, and absolutely fun to watch as a neutral, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I just want to watch a Punjab game.
I just love watching them.
Absolutely, man.
I think, as I said, I want them. I want Punjab to win just because of the high intent. So we'll come back to continue talking about Punjab just after this quick break.
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I have been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about batting. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting.
All right, welcome back to Good Areas Live. I'm Varun and Shahan, and we were just talking about the Punjabs. Have fun, Punjab's opening pair have been, right?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
They've easily been my favorite opening pair this season. I'm sorry to Sai and Shubman. I'm sorry, I apologize to those two, but they're just so boring.
I actually don't mind them either because, as you know, I really like batters who have that very aesthetic style of play, very classical straight-batted players, of course. It's well known, I've been a Virat Kohli fan, and then I like the way how Rohit Sharma, KL Rahul, all these players play. Of course, with their criticisms and everything, that's one aspect of it. But then, just purely as a cricket fan who wants to watch these players play, you like to see those sorts of players do well. But then, as a T20 fan,
I love the technique, but I just don't like it when the striker is
disappointed. No, that's what I'm saying, So, in T20 cricket, you do want a lot of intent and chaos, and that is what you get with Prabhsimran and Priyansh Arya, isn't it?
Yeah. So, we're talking about like risk as well. Like, I think Arya is one of the most risk-free batters we've looked
at
versus
because
he's
very, very good at playing lofted drives.
He just lofts the drive so easily, right?
Yeah. I think even talking about Prabhsimran, so I was looking this up, and Prabhsimran has basically hit 5 sixes from ramps and uppercuts in the power play this season against Pacers. I think that's a really useful tool to have as a batter, isn't it? And then he's good at the cover drive, he's good at the on drive, straight drive. These are pull shot. I think so. It's these set of shots that have been really used. Actually, he's not played a lot of straight drives, but yeah. So I think we can say cover drive and on drive, he's got a lot of runs from this. So Prabhsimran Singh, that has been one of the, I don't think, yeah, on drive, off drive. And so even Prabhsimran Singh has been really good playing the drives. We have to give him credit for that. Now, coming to Priyansh Arya, I'll be very interested to see what his numbers look like right now for the various shots. So, interestingly, Priyansh Arya has also been very good at playing the pull shot. He has a strike rate of more than 300 of 23 balls and he's just gotten out once. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. He does seem like, I think he's elite versus pace. He seems comfortable versus spin. Like, he's just good. Yeah. He's just a good batter. Like, I think if he has two more, like, one more good IPL season, bring him in. I don't care. add him to the list, man. I don't, like, I'm his fan already.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about something. Like, let's also, like, give a shout out to Nehal Vadera as well, right?
Absolutely.
He's had a very, like, secretly very good season. Like, he's been a great role player.
So if you remember that one game against RCB where they had to chase a low total and it got to a very tricky point where I think they needed 43 of 32 balls and then Nehal Vadera hit sixes of... I think hit six... I should remember this, man. I watched that whole game. I think he got two boundaries. I'm 100% sure about that. I just don't remember if they were both sixes or not. But yeah, my point is that at that crunch moment where they needed him to like just break free, he did that, and that was one of the games that I remember. And then that game against Rajasthan, right, he played a very brilliant innings, and that was the game where they lost early wickets. But then Punjab this season has been that sort of team who, like, that is the exactly the sort of team that the way analysts want them to play, right? Just keep hitting, keep scoring boundaries in T20 cricket, and that is what Punjab have done regularly. Like, it has mattered whether they have lost wickets or not. They don't really.
So Nehal's average is 90 at a strike rate of 152 versus spin this season.
Oh, wow. Right? That is
He's very close to Arya. He's got a much better average than Shreyas Iyer and he's striking just far less than him, right?
So they now have two really good players of spin on their team.
So they have two brilliant players of spin. And if the pitch is pace and bouncy, also the most recent addition, Josh Inglis, right? Like Shreyas Iyer was the number three. He does well. I think he gets out a couple of times to pace in the power play. And then I believe Shreyas is the one who tells Ponting that let's send Inglis up. The pitch is bouncy. He's Aussie. Yeah. They're genetically built to play pace and bounce.
This happened in the Lucknow game as well, didn't it? That was batting first. Yeah, exactly. I think they lost one early weekend. Then he got a good cameo and he was hitting a lot of boundaries against, who was it? Mayank Yadav. Yes, I remember.
Yeah. So, like, Josh Inglis has been great. Their top five isn't really in good form right now, isn't it?
Absolutely,
and then on top of that, you also have finishers in Stoinis. Like, who else the hell is in the team? I forgot. Omazai.
They've had Omarza has not played a lot actually. They've had Shashank Singh. Let's not forget Shashank Singh.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about this. Spat so deep, bro. Like
there's a very interesting tale I read about that as well today. So I'll just look that up. So essentially, it was like Ricky Ponting told him that you're one of the best players of our team, and so like you are the best player of our team essentially. Like at one point when he was not feeling very confident. I'll look that.
Yeah, so it's 57-149 this season. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and so then Stoinis has had a couple of blistering knocks.
Correct. He's played only 8 innings. And even Marco Jansen has had, like, I think a couple of knocks towards the end.
Yeah, I remember the Chennai game, I think.
And with Marco Jansen, obviously, more importantly, he gave them that depth, which now...
Yeah, Shashank strikes at 149 versus spin as well. They have brilliant players of spin in the middle overs. Inglis plays spin really well as well, for an Aussie.
Yeah, even exactly. If you remember, Inglis is a very good player of spin, I feel.
So they're uniquely set up in a way where you can't bowl any spin to them, to anyone in the top 6 or 7. Like, what do you even need? Like, they're easily the best batting side of this competition, I think.
Yeah.
So I think, unlike RCB, where I think they're more Kohli dependent, you almost need Virat's runs. Like, in this team, any one of them could not make runs in this Super 200, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they've not had that thing where Kohli has not been the star in a lot of games, but he has been there almost every single game they've won, right? Like, I think he
Especially run chases, right?
Yeah. I think he makes runs in every single game that they win, basically. So, but then the difference has been that different players have come in at different points and stepped up. But with Punjab Kings, it's not even like they're reliant on Shreyas Iyer the same way that RCB probably are on Virat Kohli, right? Like, even if Shreyas Iyer probably has a bad game, we know that there are other players who can step up. Shashank Singh has shown that quality that when wickets are falling, when there is a pressure situation, he can handle it. He has shown that. And I think that is a pretty good thing for them.
Yeah. So,
and imagine they've not had to use... Stoinis has played 65 versus this IPL, man.
He's barely a batter this season, right?
Exactly.
And I'm pretty sure, like, those 65 balls are when Ponting, for some reason, finally just sends him up for no reason. Like, I don't get why he does. Like, this strange tactics of that team, that really annoys me. Like, at times, they do random stuff.
Yeah, so I was talking to you about Shashank Singh, right? So, I was reading this piece by Nagraj Golapudi on ESPN Cricket Info, and he talks about how Shashank barely made runs in the 2 intra-squad matches and he was feeling a bit frustrated and all that. And then Ricky Ponting talks to him and Ricky Ponting tells him that you are the best player that's in this team. You know it. And that is why we retained you. And then even before that, it was Shreyas Iyer who's telling him you're the best finisher in this league and I obviously trust you. The team trusts you. Ricky Ponting trusts you. So I think that camaraderie that they've built and like you, that is the sort of thing that you would expect from your retained players. And I think he's had a very good season like that. He's probably not had a very high strike rate season, but we know he can do that. And I think some of this is actually skewed because against RCB, he gets stuck. In that one game at Mulanpur in the day game, he has this weird knock where he plays a lot of balls, but he doesn't get boundaries in that game. So, he gets 31 not out of 33 and he gets just 1-4. But then we've seen against Rajasthan, he can play fast. Then even against Lucknow, Chennai, he's got cameos all throughout the season. Against Gujarat, obviously, at the start of the season. Against CSK, again, he had that innings where Priyansh Sharia played really well. But then Shashank Singh had to hold an innings. And because they were losing a lot of wickets, like they could have very easily been bowled out if not for him and Marco Jansen, like just applying some sort of common cricketing sense towards the end, isn't it?
Yeah. So we talked about the batting. Let's move on to the bowling. So the standout bowler by some distance has been Arshdeep Singh, who's probably had his first great IPL season, right? It had to happen at some point.
We've seen the level that he has shown at the international stage, hasn't he? Like 2 T20 World Cups, he's been one of the best Indian. Well, he has probably been India's like one of the top 2 bowlers in both of the tournaments, isn't it? And then
he was the best bowler in 2022.
Yeah, I think 22 he was the best bowler, and even in 24, I think after Bumrah he was our best bowler. So
agreed.
If we look at it in that sense, Arshdeep Singh was due a good IPL season, and he has done it. He has been among the most economical bowlers, and then he's also taken wickets in the power play, hasn't he? We were just talking about it when we were.
Yeah. He was at an economy rate of like 8.15 or something.
Exactly.
In the power play, he's been fantastic. I think he's been one of the best first over bowlers this season, right? He's swinging the ball well. I think he's bowled at the death. Well enough, like
Singh, he has the joint third most wickets in the power play this season. He's had an economy rate of just 8.15. So that's a pretty good season, isn't it? He's striking at 19.5. Now I'm interested to see how he's done in the first over, because I actually think this is also one stat that you need to look at sometimes, because it's very important how you start a game. Sometimes it does have a lot of I know it's still small sample sizes and everything, but if you have a bowler who can get you early wickets, like Trent Bolt used to back in the day, isn't it?
Or even first over wickets can like debilitate your side. Or we look at impacts all the time. Like the impact just goes down.
Yeah, like just imagine if
predicted scores just goes down completely.
Like I know it's a worst case scenario as an RCB fan, but imagine if Arshdeep Singh gets like Phil Salt or Virat. And the interesting thing is he has gotten out Phil Salt recently a lot, hasn't he?
That is Phil Salt's a bit of his bunny, isn't he? Phil Salt's his bunny, right?
Yeah.
He just kept getting him out in that England series.
Yeah, and then even in this IPL game, I think. The one in Bengaluru, he gets him out when he's trying to pull the ball, I think. So, brilliant work from Arshdeep Singh. Arshdeep Singh has 3 wickets this season in the first over. So, I think Khalil has 5, Siraj has 4, and then Arshdeep, Archer and Vaibhav Arora, they all have 3 wickets each. But I think he's done well, even in terms of economy, he's good. 7.83. Arshdeep Singh has had a very good season. But then, I think if we're talking about their other bowlers, it's probably not been a very convincing season, has it?
Yeah, like, the best second best bowler is Mirjansen.
Yeah, and he's not going to play.
And they're going to lose him, right? And the bowling does not look comfortable without him.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one side that could take hold of them.
Another interesting anecdote on Arshdeep that I read was that he has been like the bowling captain of Punjab Kings. So again, this comes back to the sort of culture that the team has created. And
in that first game, do you remember when Vishak comes in bowls? It was Arshdeep who asked for him.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
Arshdeep was telling him, just bring Vishak in, apparently.
Yeah. And that was a brilliant game, man. Like, Gujarat could have still chased that total, I think.
I still don't know how the hell they made 232, man. I watched it with my own eyes. They never looked like they were going to make any runs. And this summer made 230 without any batting.
Gil got a really good start. I think Sudarshan, that was that one innings I remember where Sudarshan actually starts slow. Then he's like, okay, for such a chase, you need to go faster. And Gil showed how to do that. And then even Sudarshan picked up pace and they were getting runs. But then again... Yeah. Yeah, so Arshdeep Singh has shown his leadership capabilities. I think Harpreet Brar has also had a good season with the ball. He's taken 10 wickets in 6 innings this season. And he's gone at 8.6.
Yeah, he's been brilliant, hasn't he? He's just come in randomly and just done well. I forgot which game he does well recently. And was it Rajasthan? Rajasthan. Do you remember versus Rajasthan? Like both the left-handers, they were like 76 or 67 out of 4 overs. So they throw the ball to Harpreet and
he gets Vaibhav for him and shout, doesn't he?
This could go horribly wrong or like incredibly well.
Yeah.
And then he gets both Jaiswal and
Vaibhav. He
gets Vaibhav. He gets hit for 2 boundaries.
Yeah, he gets hit for 2 boundaries and then he gets him out, I think, towards mid-off, wasn't it?
Yeah. So then he gets him out and he gets Jaiswal out later and he kills the game basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this on the live before. His left-arm finger spinner is much better versus left-handers. Weird things happen, right?
Yeah.
So the matchup is bowl him to left-handers.
I would just say for all the fans and anyone who is like interested in matchups and stuff, just don't go by it blindly. You have to look at more context, how a bowler has done well against a certain type of batter. And it could also be that maybe, let's say, a bowler A is really good against right-handers, but then he goes up against a bowler like Shreyas Iyer, against a batter like Shreyas Iyer, who loves playing, say, left-arm spin, finger spin, for example. So, I think that you have to do more research than just look at, okay, he's a left-hander, so we'll not bowl him to... And teams often make this mistake, don't they? Like, we can argue they made the same mistake yesterday, RCB with Krunal, they're not bowling him to punt, and he actually did well.
Sai Kishore and Shubman Gill, man, there's plenty of examples,
right? Sai Kishore, exactly, so much.
Yeah.
Correct.
And the opposite, that doesn't mean the opposite is true, by the way. So just because some captains are idiots and don't understand matchups, doesn't mean the matchups as a concept is wrong.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
Like, on average, left-arm finger spinners are bad versus left-handed batters.
You have to you need to know the general trends, but then also have an idea about what works against that particular team and that particular player, isn't it? So I think after this break, we can talk about we can do a preview of sorts of tomorrow's game, isn't it?
Yeah, that was just about to say. Like, we'll just go have a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll do a preview of the qualifier once more.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
All right, welcome back to Good Areas Live. I'm Warren. I'm joined with Cheyenne again. So this is going to be a preview of the qualifier one, where the two teams we've discussed today in these relative length, Punjab Kings and Royal Challengers Bengaluru, will go up against each other. So with all of the, I guess, I don't even know how you'd explain it. I've already forgot. Where is it even happening?
It's in Mulanpur.
It's in Mulanpur. Oh, okay. So it's in Punjab's favor, right?
Yeah. But then they didn't even won the last game there, right?
Yeah. Punjab, they won one. They don't do. Yeah.
They actually play back to back games. Like, that was the smallest window between two games, I think, that any two teams have gone up against the season, against each other. And RCB actually lose at home, and then Punjab also lose at home. But Punjab lose the day game. So I think that's also one factor here, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say is, like, who do you think are the most likely to win?
Man, like, I'm really bad at this stuff, like, at predicting who's going to win. And, like,
yeah, same, but that's why I'm asking you.
I don't think I'm bad. I'm just, like, very average at it. Because pre-season, I predicted that Mumbai, Sunrisers, Delhi and RCB will make the playoffs. So Mumbai and RCB have done the job, and Delhi were close. But Sunrisers did not have a good season. So I think it's more like at parity. I had Jaiswal. I think I predicted that Jaiswal would be the highest run getter of this IPL. And he's had a pretty good season. So I think it often ends up being like a decentish prediction, but not great. So for tomorrow's game,
I'll rephrase the question then. You're an RCB fan. What things do you think have to go in RCB's favor for them to win? Like, what's the best case scenario?
You really have to hope that they have a good start in the power play, simply with the bat, starting with, like, let's assume they bat first, right? Like, I think that has often happened with RCB in knockout games where they've had to bat first. And I think if that situation, we can discuss both scenarios. And I think let's discuss it from RCB's lens. So considering it's Punjab's home ground as well. So let's say RCB have to bat first. They have to obviously play out the threat of Harshdeep Singh. But then they don't have Marco Jansen now. Punjab Kings, isn't it? So who do you think is going to pair with Harshdeep Singh in the power play for Punjab?
Would they have Bartlett?
They can go with Bartlett. I think they will play Jamieson, because Jamieson also gives them that batting depth towards the end.
I completely forgot he played as well, you know.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And
so the thing with Jamieson is
I don't think Jamieson is a very great T20 bowler, to be very honest.
Like, no, he's not.
I've seen that. So I was actually looking up who has bowled the most overs for them in the power play this season. Obviously, Harshdeep Singh has bowled the most, and Marco Jansen is not playing. Marco Jansen bowled 20 overs.
So they played Jamieson and Jansen in the last game, right?
Correct. And I think
so. Who did they bring in for Jansen? Then I'm assuming it has to be Bartlett.
Yeah, I think that should be a straight swap, because obviously they will miss Lockie Ferguson a lot in this game, especially for those middle overs enforcer sort of a role. But then, yeah, I think Bartlett has to come in. Bartlett has bowled 8 overs in the power play this season in 4 innings. I think that's one straight swap that they can make. And then, of course, they have Kyle Jamieson. So, I think, apart from Harshdeep Singh, I would still say they have bowlers that RCB can still target well in the power play. And then the middle overs, I think, now Chahal is going to come back for the next game. And I think Chahal has, and speaking of Chahal, he's had a very mixed season, hasn't he? Like, what are your thoughts on Chahal? Yeah, I think we forgot to talk about him in a bit of depth in the previous segment. So, what do you think about Chahal's bowling this season?
Yeah, he's been shit versus left-handers, hasn't he? Like, that's basically been the season.
Yeah, sort of. And if you also remember, he was not bowling a lot of overs in the early stages of the IPL, and he was going for runs. But I think it starts to turn around from that KKR game, right? Like, when they go on to defend 111 and Chahal is the main man in that game. And then from that point on, he does well against RCB in Bengaluru, of course. Ex-RCB player doing well against RCB at home. Who would have thought?
So would you say that RCB is a good matchup for him then? Because they have no left-handers.
Yeah, they don't have Padikkal either, yeah. This could be the game for Chahal. And obviously for RCB, when we talk about RCB's batters against spin, Rajat Patidar has to come good, isn't it? Because if there's no Rajat Patidar, then I think a lot of workload will again be on Kohli, who he has played spin really well in the last couple of seasons now, especially compared to how he was. But then again,
no, I think he's just below a neutral versus spin.
In terms of strike rate, right?
Yeah.
But then again, like, he will give you runs against spin. So I think you will take that.
Yeah, agreed.
Definitely. And then paired with, if Rajat Patidar comes good, that will be a very interesting matchup, I feel.
Yeah, Patidar versus spin, I think they're sorted. Like, Jitesh is decent versus spin.
Harshdeep versus Salt. I think these are two matchups which will be very exciting. And I think, not from a T20 perspective, not from an analyst perspective, from a vibes perspective, Kohli versus Jameson will be a funny matchup, I think. Because I can totally see Kohli scoring 30 or 15 balls and then probably mistiming a pull shot and getting out to Kyle Jamieson in the 6th over of the innings. That sort of stuff can also happen with him. And especially because he is the sort of bowler that I'm 100% sure RCB will look to take on. Simply because of how I saw them play Willow Rook last night. And Willow Rook did take 2 wickets, which felt like, okay, is Will Litton, he's gone for a lot of runs, but is he going to turn the game around from here? And it didn't happen eventually. And he ends up going for 74 runs. So I think another tall bowler from New Zealand, Kyle Jamieson, I think RCB will go after him as well. So not...
So that's a pretty good... Like, that's a very interesting one. Again, I think if they're chasing, it has to be on Kohli, right? If Kohli does well, they'll win. They'll chase anything.
They have. He has to bat through, or more or less. And I think it also depends on the target, like we said, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a big target, then the other batters also need to chip in, because, like, the thing with this is, you can't be very reliant on one player and say, like, what if Kohli has a bad game? Like, he can have a bad game, right? Like, it's T20 cricket, dude. He can just fail.
Yeah, but I don't think they can chase anything if he has a bad game. That's the issue.
Let's say they're supposed to chase 180 and Kohli gets out in the first over.
Best case scenario, dude. Best case scenario. Let's go. Let's say Kohli bats through, they'll win.
No doubt about it.
Let's say batting first, they get a decent social. They're more than capable of getting an above par social, right? Kohli's been very good with his intent batting first.
The middle
order just need, like, you need just need two or three of them to go together.
I think if Salt comes good, Mayank Agarwal comes good.
Hazelwood is back.
That is going to be a big.
So if Hazelwood's back, they definitely need Bowie and Hazelwood to do well initially. You want to get Shreyas Iyer in versus Hazelwood and as early as you can.
Exactly. You remember right? That's that the one key difference. Of play in the Bengaluru game, right?
Yeah. He's the main dude they need to be careful about, right?
Yeah.
Because I think if RCB don't take early wickets, I don't see how they put pressure on Punjab in the middle overs.
I agree. I think they have to take early wickets. There is no question about it. Especially against this Punjab Kings team, where they basically have three openers, right? With Josh Inglis. Like, if there is an early wicket, they can just send Josh Inglis in. I think that's the plan anyway, isn't it?
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So I think Inglis will play Hazelwood quite well. I think they know each other.
Yeah, I think he has the skills to do that pretty well.
I still don't think Iyer would like Hazelwood. So I think Ravish was mentioning, right? He's saying Iyer doesn't have a good record versus Hazelwood.
Exactly. I also remember reading this in some article that I was reading before this live. So I think that is a very interesting matchup, that one of their best batters has not been good against RCB's bowlers in the past. So if RCB can repeat that, and if you remember, I think Romario Sheffield also gets Iyer out in the day game in Mullanpur the last time when they played. So I think that will be a very important. And they had that death bowling masterclass. Let's not forget that. RCB's death bowling is also going to be really crucial. And I think actually their power play and the death bowling has been very good. Middle overs, you can still be like, okay, had their spinners, especially Suyash, like, he's had good games, but he's not always taken a lot of wickets. And then he's also had games where he's gone for runs. Krunal, I think, has been pretty good. But he has not been the sort of Krunal that you would expect. We've seen an entirely different version of Krunal this season, where he's been more of a wicket taker. But I think even he does well versus Punjab in the Mullanpur game.
So the main advantage for RCB is that it's not a home game for them, right? Because they won every away game this season.
Yeah, even the one...
Thanks, LPN, for reminding me of that. I completely forgot about it. But yeah.
Even the one game in that they play in Lucknow and lose, that is technically a home
game. That's a home game, right?
That is the funniest thing.
It's a designated home game.
Exactly. So I think, that is going to be... What are the other interesting matchups do you think in this game?
Yeah, that's the main one, and I think... If Shreyas is playing versus spin, I think...
Stoinis at the death. That will also be very crucial. I think, and with Stoinis, I think, as always, what I believe is that in big games and playoffs, it all starts, like, you're all at the same level at that point, right? And then, if you have an experienced player who has been in that situation before, over and over again, that is why we keep saying that in World Cups, you often want experienced players to be there, right? And so similarly, if Stoinis, he just gets like a 10-ball 30 towards the end, like, that completely shifts the momentum. We know he's capable of doing that. We have seen him do that in this very season. I think that was the game against Punjab.
The Punjab bowling attack without Yonsei is very vulnerable, right? So RCB are it's very likely they could get a big total batting first or...
Yeah, I think so.
So, and if they do, I think Punjab, because they don't have a lot of experience in playoffs, they could very easily bottle the 200-plus franchise.
Yeah, I think let's say RCB end up setting 200, 220 in the first innings, and I think it will be a very interesting game then from there on, because we know that Punjab can chase it, right? But Punjab, I think, have been a better side batting first. And if Punjab,
I think that makes sense. Hitters usually like batting first, don't they?
Correct. And then if they have to chase a big total, then I think someone like Shreyas Iyer, obviously, he'll have to pull his game back a bit and, like, play that sort of innings that he, while also maintaining the strike rate, also have to play that long innings that gets the side home, in a sense.
Yeah. So we'll take a quick break. Once we're back, we'll discuss how Punjab can win. What's the best case scenario for them?
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumpa turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Welcome back to Good Areas Live. I'm Varun. I'm joined by Shayan again. So we'll be talking about what's the best case scenario for Punjab Kings to win this game?
Yeah. So I think I was looking up Punjab's record batting first and batting second. So even batting second, Punjab have won 4 games and lost 1 game. I think the one game.
Yeah, that's what Gokul was mentioning in the comments, right?
Yeah, I think the one
they
game
only
that
lost
they
one
lose
game
was,
chasing.
Correct. The one game that they lose was chasing against Rajasthan Royals. I think that was they had to chase a big target in that. Yeah, they had to chase 206. Exactly. So this is interesting. All of their targets that they've won, the games that they've won so far, they've chased 96 in that 15-over game. That was a bit of a tricky game. But then 172 against Lucknow, 185 against Mumbai, and 191 against Chennai. So this is the range where they've done well. And of course, they've had that one game where they've not chased 206. But then a bit like RCB, like I think the way their team has set up, you almost want them to chase somewhere between 180 to 200, between 160 to 200. And for that, their bowling will have to come really, really good if they're bowling first. And they are supposed to chase, I think, if they can keep RCB to say 180, I think it's game on. I think Punjab would have a really good chance of winning it from that point. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think with RCB, they could theoretically put pressure from both ways, like batting and bowling. I think Punjab almost have to do it with the bat, right?
Yeah. I think exactly that. I think that is one thing that's probably in RCB's favor, that RCB, I think Punjab have the better batting lineup, I'm sure about that. And then,
yeah, agreed.
But then RCB do have the talent, I think we cannot deny. Even if they've not been they've definitely been a good batting side this season, they've not been a standout batting side, the same way that say a Punjab or a Gujarat have been. But then I think with the ball, RCB have undoubtedly been the better side. So, and especially with Hazelwood coming back in, that is going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So I do think with the thing with Punjab's batting is, or we saw them versus MI as well. They just played Bumrah out and smashed everyone else. They could do that with those RCB, right? They could just play Hazelwood out, smash everyone else, and easily end up at 200.
Yeah, I can totally see that happening the way they have played this season. I think while batting first, so from the 9 games that we were talking about, so Punjab get 200, I think 7 times. Yeah, Punjab get more than 200 7 times out of 9 while batting first. And they actually don't end up defending it twice, once versus Sunrisers and once versus Delhi in the last game. So I think if at all they end up scoring 200 batting first, I think it'll still be game on, and RCB will have the confidence of the previous game where they have now chased 200 down to 228 against Lucknow. And the same thing with Punjab, their bowling has not always been very great. And now they don't have Marco Jansen either.
Yeah, but then again, if RCB is chasing 200 and Virat falls quickly, I don't see how they win. I don't think they would.
I think they will need outlier performances in that case. So I think if they're considering a general case in that sense, they will obviously need runs from Kohli. Like they will need him to score around 50, 60, 70 runs to get them going at least, if not finish the whole game. And then we'll be talking about Punjab and batting first. I think Punjab, what do you think Punjab would prefer? Like, of course, we've seen teams, they just chase most of the times in playoffs.
They've been really chasing, haven't they? Like, I don't think they mind either way.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. Yeah, Punjab will not mind batting either. But I think if RCB win the toss, they're going to chase. There is no doubt about it, isn't it?
Yeah, they have to chase.
Even though they've had now the last couple of games where the bowlers have gone for a lot of runs, and it's not always a certainty that you're going to chase such a high total. Like, because you have to keep maintaining that scoring rate for a long time. And I think that's something that's a sort of nuance we often end up missing as fans, as analysts, because it's just very difficult to consistently expect. Like, consistently, you need to have the batter that comes in next. Nobody has to play a net negative knock as such. And the batter, you don't have a lot of time to settle down and all those sorts of things. So, I think if Punjab bat first, make 220, I think that is one sort of a case where I can see Punjab most likely winning against RCB.
Yeah, agreed. And I think for RCB to chase,
give them a 180 chase, man.
Give them 180 chase. If it's less than 180, I think they win.
Yeah, if it's 160 to 180, then it's like the perfect Virat Kohli game, right? Like, you just expect him to do it.
If it's 200, if they're chasing 200, I'm still not comfortable with RCB chasing 200.
Yeah, but I think the last game now has given some sort of confidence, especially because they didn't, like, Kohli didn't bat really end, right? And they still got the job done. But I think, yeah, if it's somewhere around the 200 range, I think it will be a tricky game. And while chasing Punjab, of course, we've talked about the fact that Punjab have been an elite side chasing.
Yeah, so I'm just checking the numbers bowling first. 1 second.
Yeah.
Fair. They actually have the second best economy rate bowling first.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Punjab, they've been quite good in the bowling.
Because I was talking about how they were chasing low targets. Like, not low targets, like relatively mid-range targets in a sense.
So, yeah, I think Punjab bowl first then, right? Because if it's less than one, like how well do RCB need to bat for them to have a chance in this, right?
For Punjab to have a chance? Sorry.
For RCB to have a chance. Over 200,
I think RCB will probably have to make, like, above 200, I think RCB should feel confident. But if it's above 220, then I think it should be RCB's game. That puts them in a very good position to win the game. If they make more than 220 batting first. But then we've seen that Punjab have done bowling first, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. So I do think Punjab are favorites in this game. They seem, from what I've seen so far. But again, this is such an unknown territory for Punjab and RCB to be in the playoffs. So I don't really know what will happen.
They both finished top two, man.
Yeah. So what do you think? Who do you think are the favorites? And your heart saying RCB?
I honestly can't tell. Like, of course, I would want RCB to win as an RCB fan. But then again, if I have to look at it like from an objective point of view, it's very hard to separate between these two teams. But as we said, I think Punjab's bowling is the point where RCB can put pressure on their bowling. And I think RCB can put pressure on Punjab both with their batting and bowling, and Punjab can do it mainly with their batting. And especially with Punjab not having Marco Jansen in their team, I think that's going to create a sort of difference.
I do think no Jansen does give a bit of an edge to RCB, because they've been lucky with the fact that most of the players haven't been affected by the player, like the absences in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I think, and of course RCB are going to get Hazelwood back, right? And if Tim David comes back tomorrow, then I think that is definitely, RCB will be very happy with that sort of an outcome if Tim David is back in. But then even if Tim David is not in, Hazelwood coming back definitely boosts the side a lot. And we've seen Hazelwood bowl really well against Punjab in both the games, isn't it? I think that also, he'll have a bit of an edge there.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, so I'm feeling Punjab for some reason. I don't know why. But I don't mind. It's one of those things where either team could win and I don't mind. I just don't want Gujarat or MI to win.
Yeah, as a CSK fan, I think you would ideally want either of these two teams to win so that gap doesn't start increasing, isn't it? Like Mumbai.
No self-respecting CSK fan wants MI to win. And then GT just go against my principles. It's not political, by the way. Just I don't like anchors.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know, I've, man. Like, I've had enough of this. I can't tell you who's going to win tomorrow's game, but I do think RCB seem to be the better team to me at the moment. Like, just by a bit, simply because I honestly can't tell you who's going to win tomorrow. A lot of it is going to depend on the toss and everything. If Tim David is fit or not, those sorts of things. Who Punjab get in, like how well Xavier Bartlett does and those sorts of things. And I think Chahal is also going to come back. So in that is definitely going to boost Punjab as well. So I think RCB still have, they're slightly a better team because both their batting and bowling has been good. Though I think Punjab is the better batting side. But their bowling, there are a few question marks, especially with no Marco Jansen.
All right. I think we've had enough. I've had enough at least. So, all right. Thank you so much for watching or listening, whatever the hell you're doing in this. All right. So, if you go subscribe to our pieces on goodareas.co bookmark it. Follow Cheyenne on... Are you still going on to X anymore or no?
No. I've taken a bit of a break from Twitter.
Okay. So, yeah. Don't follow him anyway.
I always like...
Do subscribe to this channel. Yeah.
All right. Subscribe to the Substack, YouTube channel, everything.
Yeah. Aris, thank you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.